Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Just 37 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Trying to keep an eye on this one, too. Early basketball for you. Colorado State and Bradley. That was scary right off the bat, but right now, with 4.5 minutes left, the Rams are up 57-52. So maybe they're getting a hold of this thing. David Roddy with 26 points. My goodness. Chris Dempsey joining me now from Altitude TV. Chris, would David Roddy look good in a Nuggets uniform, or is he an NBA guy? I'm not sure. I can never tell.
I mean, yeah, why not?
Bring him on.
For sure, yeah. Actually, I'm watching that game. It's been very interesting watching, I always thought this about college basketball. Boy, they need more preseason games.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you go in and Colorado State's probably what the favorite in this tournament overall. You know, you play as the team that's the favorite. And there's just a tad bit of pressure with that, but also it's almost always advantage the team that's an underdog, because the time to get these teams that will eventually be really good by the end of the season is to get them while they might be a little, you know, out of sorts right at the beginning of the season. And so Bradley, especially in that first half, that's just exactly what was happening. Now, defensively, in the second half, Colorado State got a lot better as well. And, I mean, there's still some time left in this game, so we'll just see what happens. But I always thought that there's, and I know these teams play one, maybe two, like a scrimmage, and maybe one preseason game, one that doesn't count in the standings, but you just need more time to get together, even for a team like Colorado State, bringing back all those players from last year's very successful team. So very, just interesting. I'm glad college basketball is back, because I'm watching it all.
Oh, it's morning basketball is great. I mean, I haven't worked in like 3 weeks now, Chris.
I mean, don't tell my
boss or anything. But once basketball starts, it's just so much fun. Our poll question, that you will appreciate this. Our question is if the Rams and the Buffs end up meeting, just let them do it in St. Thomas, right? The heck with doing it in Boulder or Fort Collins. They're going to do it in St. Thomas. If they end up meeting in this tournament, this Paradise Jam tournament, who you got, man? Who do you think's winning?
I would have to think Colorado State would be the favorite in that scenario. I think the team right now, I mean, and I actually went to Boulder last week and watched CU's team in person. They have good players, but they don't have that thing together. And so, especially right now, I would give the – I just think Colorado State probably has the better team. And right now, certainly, as Colorado is really – trying to figure some things out, that game would be advantage Colorado State. Now, you know, especially, you know, both teams really want to shoot it well from the 3-point line. I think Colorado State's a little bit better equipped to do that more consistently than Colorado is right now. But it would certainly be a fun game. It'd be fun to see these two teams play this early in the season and just kind of get a gauge of what they kind of look like against each other.
Well, and I like what you said too. I mean, this is going to be interesting in all of college basketball, I think, because of the COVID year that some of these student athletes have, right? The second senior year, second junior year, you're going to see teams that maybe weren't projected to be that good, but because they have that togetherness factor, which, as you mentioned, without preseason games and such, without many of them, that togetherness factor can bode so well. So not just the Rams. I think the Rams are going to be good regardless of just being the togetherness factor, but there's going to be a lot of teams in college basketball that, hey, they were just together for so long that maybe that gives them a head start and they pull off some wins that perhaps shouldn't have.
Yeah, you're right. And I think what it's going to do as well is you're just not going to see these runaway teams that are just heads and shoulders above everybody else. You're going to go into some of these games. I mean, listen, Gonzaga's good. Duke is good. I mean, I would just take those two teams and maybe Kansas as well and just take those teams and put them at the top. But I don't think the gap is enormous. You know, I don't think if Gonzaga played Michigan, this is a blowout situation for Gonzaga. You know, I don't think if we watched Duke play Kentucky and Duke certainly pulled away in the second half of that game. But I don't think that the gap between those teams is huge. Duke has a player that's going to be the number one pick in the draft, and great. But outside of that, there's some teams with some comparable players, and it's to your points, because so many of these teams have these players that have come back, or they have gotten into the transfer portal and really remade their team. University of Florida, I believe their entire starting five are transfers, every single one of those players. And so, you know, these teams have been able to remake themselves. Players have been able to move around, and it evens out the talent over the court, you know, spreads out the talent over a lot of different teams. And so it should make for a very interesting, it'll make for a very maddening season too, because you just when you think your team is pretty good, they come up with a loss that you think that maybe they shouldn't have had. But that's the way I think this season is going to go, and the NCAA tournament as well is going to be just a crapshoot once the brackets are created.
Yeah, no, I think so. Either way, though, college basketball back. It's such a fun time. I love this October-November stretch there where we get a little bit of everything. Chris Dempsey joining us from Altitude TV. Last night was one of those interesting nights, one of those games where you look at it and say, hey, Joker's in MVP form. Barton looks sensational. Where was the help, Chris? And again, we've talked about this early with the bench for the Nuggets, and we said, okay, where's that scoring going to come from? And, you know, we got excited about Bones Highland, but, I mean, to be fair, as much as I want to put pressure on a rookie, last night was the first game he actually looked like a rookie, so I don't know that we want to rely on it 100% throughout the course of the season. So, Chris, talk to us about the depth on this team. I mean, Joker, Barton, they can't do it all for long. They got to have help.
Yeah, I was going to say, and that extends beyond the bench. I mean, no other starter even scored until it was Aaron Gordon scored with 4:37 to go in the second quarter. That was the first other starter to even score a point in the game. If you take Joker's and Will Barton's production out of the game, the rest of the team was 15 of 53. And that is obviously not what you're looking for, you know, offensively. From this team, and it, you know, a couple of things. One, I think it really underscores the massive importance their defense is to them winning games. Because if they don't bring it defensively every single night, and not just like, well, the defense is really, really good. It almost has to be elite level defense every single night, just for the Nuggets to make sure that they're in these games, much less winning them. It puts so much pressure on that end of the court. What if you have an off night? What if you're just not defending really well? Which was what was happening last night. You know, last night there was, you know, they just didn't have it on that end. And you know what? That's one of the few times that we could say this early season that they didn't have it on that end. But because they didn't have it on that end, this is not a team that's now going to beat you in a shootout. Last year, or with Jamal Murray and MPJ and everybody else, and you know, they could get into these situations where, okay, defensively they're not phenomenal, but it doesn't matter because they're just going to shoot the lights out and still win this game. That's not a reality, at least not yet for this basketball team this season. So if they're not going to shoot it, and to be fair, 15 of 53 is an outlier. I mean, that is very, very bad shooting. So they're not going to shoot it that terribly, but even if they're just average, just a little bit below average, you know, their defense has to see them through. And last night they just weren't very good on the defensive end for whatever reason. And I do believe this, and I know a lot of people will just say, yeah, right, because it's an effort end. I do believe that sometimes your defense is susceptible to bad games, like your jump shot is susceptible to bad games. So, you know, the difference being, obviously, when you release the jump shot, it's a 50-50 chance of it going in or not going in, right? Your defense is a lot more, you can control that because of your effort and your energy, moving your feet, all those kinds of things. But what if you have dead legs this game? What if you, for some reason, you know, your energy level, not every night is your energy level super high. And not every night are you going to be able to get that maximum effort that you need on the court. And so what happens on those nights? Are you still able to win those games, or are you not able to win those games? And Philadelphia took full advantage. I mean, they got into the paint whenever they wanted. Tyrese Maxey was the ringleader there. The screen roll game really worked for them. And then they took advantage of the Nuggets on their defensive end. They said, you know what you're not going to do is score in the paint. And we'll watch you shoot jump shots all night long. Because outside of a few games this season, Brady, there's only been, you know, the Nuggets really aren't a great jump shooting team. And so I would expect the Chicago Bulls to do similar stuff tonight and just really try their best to force the Nuggets to have to take jump shots all night long and see if they can make them. Because, you know, you go into those games, you say, okay, well, you know what? If they make 15 three-pointers tonight, then we weren't supposed to win this game anyway. But we're going to guess that odds are they won't hit 15 three-pointers, and we're going to keep ourselves in the game and maybe have a chance to win in the fourth quarter. So, you know, it was an interesting game last night. You know, I would not expect them to have another poor defensive effort. I think this is just the one thing that they have been really good. They've been elite level in the season, but they certainly didn't have it last night.
Yeah, well, we'll see if that bench can step up. As you said, the surrounding starting lineup. I mean, we've seen Barton, who's really taken his game up a notch, too. And then last one for you, Chris, on the injury side of things, and I know this is probably going to be, we don't really know yet, but what are we looking at for MPJ?
Yeah, it's a really good question. It's funny because I just had this discussion last night with Hanslick, with Bill Hanslick and Katie Wingy. Was, you know, nobody knows. You know, the only thing that we know is here's how you read the tea leaves. If there was something structurally wrong with his back, or like an MRI turned up something that was, you could see tangibly was wrong, then they would have to actually report that some way. So we would know a little bit more. I mean, not a lot, but a little bit more of what was going on with him. But it doesn't seem to be any of those things. So maybe that's a good sign. But the more games he misses and the more he just continues to be out with no explanation, I think we're all kind of, you know, getting a little anxious about, you know, is this how significant really is this? And so I don't know is the answer to that question, because the Nuggets have kept this one close to the vest. Nobody's talking about it. Nobody's given a timetable. And for the most part, the only time we really see him is, you know, sitting on the bench during the games with the team. And so it's very difficult to know what that situation is. But as long as he remains out, it's hard to be optimistic. I mean, about the situation. I mean, you start looking at injury reports, and it doesn't take them very long to have him already listed as out. So if that's the case, it doesn't seem like it's going to be something that might be remedied here in the near future. So we'll just have to keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah, no, you're right. The longer he is out, I think the more concerned we all grow. Chris, what do you guys have going tonight? What time does everything get rolling? The Nuggets are right back at it against Chicago.
Yeah, Ball Arena, Chicago Bulls. 6:30 will be the pregame show. We'll start be me and Vic. I'm easy. It'll be me, Katie, and Hans, and we'll look for a victory here tonight. 30-minute pregame show, and then the game starts at 7:00. So the Bulls are a tough customer, man.
Yeah, yeah. No
so
doubt.
We'll see.
All right, man. Chris, appreciate you as always. Looks like the Rams are hanging on. I got what, a minute left? What, I don't know what you're seeing. You're watching it live. I'm watching it like 1954 style on the GameCast here. So.
Yeah, they're gonna pull this one out for sure. I'll be spoiler alert.
All right, man. Hey, that makes it stress free. I can be stress free watching this thing. Hopefully, we're stress free watching the Nuggets tonight, my man. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, see you, man.
Chris Dempsey, Altitude TV, 51 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. We're going to wrap up the first hour on the other side. And I got a Thursday night special finally happened. Mac Jones, Bill Belichick, I love you guys. Thank you so much. We finally got one. The Patriots won, and they covered. So, thankfully, we are off the schneid there. So, 12:51 the time. We'll wrap up hour number one on the other side. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy and Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKN.
Northern Colorado's Voice and your home for the Denver Broncos is 103.1 and 1310 KFKN.